you, Brother Bob. We appreciate the sweet and sincere prayer that's been offered. Need your prayers this morning as I make an effort to speak in His name, the precious name of Jesus. I want to read a verse in your hearing that's on my mind. I do not intend to speak from this particular passage, but feel the Lord's presence this morning very much here at our church. Felt it in the song service. And I thank God for that, because it just fills our hearts and our souls when we can feel the touch of the Lord in our lives and feel that He does love us and that He is with us, and feel His manifest presence, to be able to see Him. And the songs we sang that speak the word of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, His name is honored and glorified. And when you can sing from your heart, in the spirit to the Lord, it's just a tremendous blessing here in this world. And then to be able to bow down on our knees and look to the Lord in prayer and feel that He truly hears us, that He'd hear a sinner like us, that He not only hears us, but He cares. Does Jesus care? And we can, by faith, know that He cares this morning. We know that our concerns and our needs are not something He's not aware of, and that He has the power and is the overcomer of all those things. We in Him and through Him and by Him have all the power and the strength that we need to hold up in this old world, no matter what comes. And the verse that's Brother Jamie Hancock, I called him this morning just to check on him to make sure he made it down the road okay. And he did. He had a wonderful trip back down, he said, and took his son down to Lynchburg and then traveled back up from Lynchburg to his home. And he said this passage of scripture was on his mind, and he had written some in it, just in his thinking, had come up with some words that he hopefully one day we'll be maybe singing in one of our hymns, because it was certainly a beautiful poem, poetry, that's prayer that he had, that I think would make a beautiful hymn for us to sing. But it was based, and the reason it was beautiful was because it was based on this scripture. And this scripture is so wonderful. Psalm 91. He says in verse 1, and we'll just read that. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth. Not just who sees it, and not just who feels it occasionally, not just comes in every once in a while and gets it on Sunday, not just, you know, occasions of need and necessity find it, but dwells there. He that dwelleth, there's a place to dwell. It's a place to abide. It's a place that the Lord has provided for His children. And he that dwelleth in the secret place. And the secret place is not secret to the little children of God. When we come in to the house of God, we hear this place declared. We talk about this place of fellowship, communion with the Lord, a house of prayer. There were those who were accused of making His house a den. They were considered to be a den of thieves. You made this house of prayer, my house, the house of prayer, a den of thieves. But that place of communion with the Lord. The hymn writer said, sweet hour of prayer. And he wrote about the moment of fellowship and communion with God. That communion can happen in the valleys of this world. It can happen on the mountaintops of this world. It can happen outside as you're walking through the natural beauty that God has created. It can happen as you're traveling down the highways in your car. It can happen on your job. It can It happens and it does. This fellowship is available for God's little children all the time, just as sure as God is everywhere present and nowhere absent. Our ability to have communion and fellowship and communication with Him and to be able to talk to Him in prayer as well as hear from Him in that still small voice that He speaks to us with is always there for God's little children. It is a secret place to the world. I can tell others about it, but if the Lord hadn't allowed them to experience it or see it or hear it, it'll seem like foolishness unto them. The only things a man can know are the things which the spirit of man that's in him lets him know. And that's how he knows the things of a man. Therefore, when you talk about the secret place, that man won't even think it exists unless he's been able to have that. I believe you know a little bit about the secret place. I believe you know it not because you're so smart or not because your mama and daddy taught it to you or not because even you heard it declared from the pulpit or at church, but that this secret place the Lord has allowed you to see, that you're not alone in this world, that you have a friend in Jesus. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You have one that is there in fellowship with you and in communion with you, that you know him because he knew you. You call on him because he called down to you. He's awakened you out of a state of death and sin to a state of life in Christ, and he's allowed you to see there's a place of communion and fellowship with him. And he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place, now listen, we're not talking about a secret place of one a little higher than us. You know, in the Lord, you don't just have a little help. You just don't have someone a little bit better off than you. You know, we sometimes turn to the world to get a little bit of information, a little bit of something to help us along the way. And sometimes we get good information, sometimes we get bad information. But it's always good to have to talk to someone who knows more than you know about it. Sometimes you go to the doctor and they don't seem like they know any more about it than you know. You know, they ask you all the questions and you just say, just give me some answers. They usually ask those questions to get answers, but sometimes it seems like their answers are just as confusing, and sometimes they're smart enough just to tell you there's a lot we don't know, and that's true. There's a great physician. His name is Jesus. There's a king who is ruling and reigning in righteousness today. There's one who, if you call on him and ask him to lead you and guide you in your life, of course, unless the Lord has awakened you to that understanding and knowledge, unless you have faith, it's impossible for you to come to Him or to know Him. But if you have the gift of faith, which is the evidence of life that's been given to you, and in that life you were given faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, then you have the ability to call upon Him when you don't know what to do, and you don't know whether you go here or go there, you don't know whether to stay where you're at, Sister Joyce, or whether to move somewhere else. Seems like a lot of problems where you are that you know about, but it may be a lot more problems where you go that you don't know about. And have you found, when I trust in myself, are you like me? When I trust in myself, I make such a mess. Make such a mess. I'm glad there's a secret place. I'm glad there's one that the world can't see that has seen fit to reveal himself unto an old sinner like me. I'm glad that he loved me enough to give me a book and write in his word those wonderful messages of his love and his mercy and his grace that I can read. I'm thankful that I can join together with my family and pray, and that I can come together in the house of the Lord, the pillar and the ground of the truth, which His church is, and find faithful ministers who are called of God to preach the wonderful message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and tell me sometimes things I don't want to hear that I need to know, and how to live and how to talk and how to be quiet and when to do those things. And that in that I can find and feel His presence and dwell with Him in a secret place that I would have never seen or never felt or never heard of had He left me where I was by nature. Aren't you thankful that the Lord didn't say, you find that secret place on your own? Aren't you thankful that He didn't just leave and entrust other men to get you there? Aren't you thankful He didn't put that just in the hand of the preacher? He didn't just put that in the hand of your mama or daddy. Or He didn't put that in anyone else's hand. He didn't give that to anyone who could fail. He charged that and gave that to one who could not fail. He sent His only, the Father loved us enough, He sent His only begotten Son into this world so that those who had no secret place, had no place to abide, had no place to cover themselves, had no place to find food and raiment and shelter, might have that place. And that place is in the very one that He sent, who is the way and the truth and the life. We have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and He is the Most High. Oh, our Lord is a great God. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's everything the Bible says that He is, and more than we can fathom, more than we can talk about, more than we can speak about. As high as I want to preach Him, I'll never preach Him as great and as wonderful and awesome as He is. And God forbid that we do as others do and belittle the Lord by saying what He can't do and what He can't get done and what He wants to do, He can't accomplish. Listen, He has done whatsoever He hath pleased. Our God is in the heavens. Our God is not broke today. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said if He were hungry, He wouldn't ask me. He wouldn't ask you. We have no help in ourselves, but in Him you have everything that you need. A little child of grace in that secret place of the Most High, He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that is when we have fellowship with Him. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Now, you're dwelling somewhere where you abide. Isn't that good? You're living there. We're talking about living there. We're talking about every day living there. We're talking about getting up. And you know, Sunday morning preachers that desire to preach and feed God's little children want to find the secret place of the Most High, because they're knowing that if the Lord doesn't fill my mind and my thoughts, even though I have studied and hopefully studied and done what the Lord has told us to do, in the sense we never do it enough, but He told us to study the words, to search the scriptures, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't just come to the pulpit with our minds not on anything and just expect God to use us like a funnel and pour it in the top so we can give it out. But listen, all of my study is in vain unless God gives me the liberty to deliver those wonderful truths He's allowed me to feed on. And if He doesn't do that, then the little sheep and the little lambs will go without food. Listen, I believe this is the Lord's vineyard. I believe this is the house of the Lord. I believe you are those who've been called to labor in His vineyard. I believe you are like in Matthew 20 where it talks about those. I tried to talk about this yesterday a little bit. It's in Matthew chapter 20, it talks about those who are standing idle that the Lord calls and says, go labor in my vineyard. And they go labor in His vineyard and every one of them get a penny. They all get the same blessing in the vineyard. And that means when you go early in the morning, if you go real early and you get there real early, and listen, I want to say to the young here today, if the Lord has stirred your heart and you know Him, you want to live your life right now to serve Him. Some people say, let the young have a little time in this world. Listen, it's that little time in the world that's messed me up. And what I want to do is tell you what the Bible faithfully declares, and that says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come, when thou say, I have no pleasure in them. That means when your eyes are real good, you use them, wearing yourself out and studying God's Word. While your hearing is good, you use it. Hearing the preaching of the gospel as much as you can. You feed on the word of God. While your hands are real good and strong, you use them in the labor, in the service of God. Whatever you do it as unto the Lord. Whether it's bending pipe, whether it's teaching children, whether it's cutting hair, whatever it might be, you do it when you're doing it, do it as unto the Lord. You live your life every day. He's called us not to just get along in this world. God's children haven't been called to mediocrity. God's children have never been called he called us to labor in his vineyard, and oh, what a vineyard he has. Listen, what he's provided for you in the Lord's church and really in your life, throughout your life, what he's provided for you is such a wonderful, purposeful, meaning existence. And yet without him, you and I are just standing idle in the marketplace. Just putting in time, trying to accumulate stuff that when we die, we leave that stuff for our children to fight over. Sometimes for years they battle over it. How many years people have lost worrying and concerned about stuff that didn't really amount to a hill of beans? One day in the secret place. One day in his vineyard. One day in his house is better than what? Than 1,000. And all those times in the world, especially those times, especially when we sometimes think, I'm really having a good time. You ever had one of those times where I'm having a good time? Take you 6 days to get over one good time. Some people, it takes a lifetime to get over it. The consequences of one good time in this world can be heartbreaking, heart-wrenching. It can cause one to spend years of worry and concern, doubt and fear. The results of sin, listen, when sin is sown, it doesn't just go away, does it? It reaps a horrible harvest. When we sow to the flesh, we don't just not reap anything. We of the flesh reap corruption. When we are standing in the marketplace idle, and listen, until God wakens you, you have no place to go. Until he comes and hires you, until he comes and quickens you, until he works in your heart, there's nothing else you have to do. And there, you know, although you ought to be honoring him and glorifying him, because all men are recipients of the grace of God. You would agree with that. Listen, that sun doesn't come. You and I don't pay for the heat that comes from the sun. That comes up every morning on us all. And if it didn't come up, well, we wouldn't be here. Listen, if it stopped shining, there is no plant life. If there's no plant life, we don't have anything to eat. I don't know about you, but I like eating. And we either eat plants or we eat things that have eaten plants. We get that, and that energy source comes from the sun. Listen, but we know better than just the sun, don't we? The energy source didn't just come from the sun, the S-U-N, but it comes from the sun, the S-O-N, which the Bible also calls him both, the sun and the sun. Matter of fact, he made light before that sun was ever in existence. And man can't even figure out what light is. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have him in your life as the light of the world, you are in the dark. If you don't have him in your life, you're in a cold world with no chance of being warm. You might stand where somebody strikes a few matches with a little flint trying to make a little fire, you know, like they did in Isaiah. They spark a little fire, they make a little light, but listen, it's not like the warmth of the Lord. It's just something that seems, it's there and it's fleeting. We're standing idle in the marketplace. You say, well, what if I attain this little place in my life? If I get to this level, will I receive it? Listen, you miss the secret place of the Most High. And if you don't enjoy that, you can gain the whole world. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Now listen, those that are not his children, that don't belong to him, that don't know him, will never understand or know or appreciate or care about any of these things. And that would be you and that would be me, were it not for the arresting grace of Almighty God coming to us while we were standing idle at the marketplace. And whether for you it was in the early morning hour, or whether he came in the third hour of the day, or whether he came in the sixth hour, which was noon, or whether he came in the ninth hour at three, or whether he came in the very last hour, just 1 hour. You know, some of God's little children, you know, we say it like this, they don't wise up until they're about to leave this world. You know when we'd wise up if it was left up to us? We'd never wise up. Today, if you're able to call on him, it's because he has quickened you. If you know anything about his vineyard, if you know anything about his fellowship, if you know anything about praying, if you know anything about calling on him, if you have that understanding, if anything that I am saying to you this morning makes sense to you, if it makes sense to you, that is evidence that he has quickened you and given you life and he's called you to labor in his vineyard. And it is a labor. It isn't to be slothful. It isn't to be lazy. It isn't to be mediocre. It isn't to be just get by. You read in the book of Revelation when he writes to the seven churches of Asia, as he speaks to them, he lays out things that they had done that was good and right, but he also, by the grace of God, but he also points out to them things where they had failed and come up short. And he, in those lessons, are teaching us here in this little vineyard, this part of the vineyard. Listen, I believe the Lord's church is his vineyard. We sing that it is. And I believe the Bible teaches that it is. And he's given us a vineyard. And it's a fruitful vineyard. It's a vineyard that brings forth all kinds of blessings. All the blessings we have in the Lord's church. We take them so, so very much for granted. Just think of the doctrine that is declared in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pillar and ground of the truth. Think of the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified and what that means. Think of the wonderful message of predestination that the Lord elected a people before the foundation of the world, and he predestinated them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Think about the justification where he paid the sin debt for them. Those he loved, he foreknew, he predestinated. He also calls them, and those whom he calls, he justifies, and those whom he justified, he glorified. Think about what that means to you in your life, what it means to think about death. Oh, I am so thankful that as I even think about death, I rest and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a time in my life where I was not able to do that. I believe if I ever belong to the Lord from the teachings of the Bible, I have always belonged to the Lord. I believe if I'm safe today, I've always been safe. I don't believe there was ever a time that I was not in the safety and the security of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I say that about me, I believe that about every one of the elect. I believe from the teachings of the Bible, we can go to the Word of God, which is that truth that we are declaring to preach. In the vineyard, by the way, laborers, faithful laborers are to plant and they're to water. As we know from the ministry that the Apostle Paul said, we're not to worship the ministers, but the ministers are to be faithful. They're to sow the seed, they're to plant, and they're to water. They're there to encourage. Sometimes they're there to cut. Sometimes they're there to admonish. There are some things you and I have that need to be let loose of. And there are some things we need to repent and turn and go another way. There are some things I need to learn. There's some growing that happens in the vineyard. And we don't do that by being slothful and lazy. This vineyard is a fruitful place. And in this vineyard, you know what's beautiful about the vineyard? You're there with the householder. You're there with the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one whom we're built upon Jesus Christ. When we have fellowship with one another, you know, you and I better take those things very seriously. When we hug one another's neck, it's as much as the Bible says, as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. When I love one of my brethren, it's as if I'm doing it unto him. As I have communion and fellowship together, we do it as we have communion and fellowship in him. Listen, our kinship is not in our natural ties. You know, I have black brethren and white brethren and I guess Asian brethren or whatever they might be along around the world. I won't go do like Daddy said one time and run through a whole group of them. But I'm just saying God's people out of every nation and out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people. And when the Lord works in the heart, listen, Philip went and preached to that little Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't preach him another Jesus or another message. There's a fellowship that's in the Lord and a kinship that you and I have in the Lord. And that is through and by His grace. And in that we have fellowship in the secret place of the Most High. And we're dwelling under the shadow, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. The One that is Most High. And that vineyard. You may be called in it in early years. And when you are, you labor in it all your life. Don't get puffed up though. Because you get the same penny as everybody else. Somebody said, I've been here longer than anybody else. Well, the Lord says, you get that penny. And if you come in, what if I come in the very last hour? What if I don't see it until the very last hour? You get the same penny. What if I get it in the midway point? Do we have levels here? Do we have high places? Do we have low places? Is there one in the house that's above another? Is there bosses in the church? Sometimes we get the idea there are. Listen, that family's been in this church for years and years and years. They got the same penny. The same penny. And Peter even said, oh Lord, we've forsaken all to follow Thee. What do we get? He said, you get the same penny. There's no man, and listen, that penny is not, don't devalue that penny. Don't think, oh, I don't get much. And really, don't miss the beauty of laboring in His vineyard. I'm telling you, it has been the blessing of my life. It has been a blessing in my life to have those moments where I've had fellowship and communion with the Lord's people. Those times I've been able to go down to a river and have a wonderful baptism. And the Lord has blessed me to have a part in that. And if you've been there, by the way, you say, well, I didn't baptize that one. But if you viewed it, listen, you had a part in it. And your part was just as valuable and just as meaningful as my part or anyone else's part. Because every time that you're there, it is your blessing that God has given you, and you have that role to play. We don't all have the same calling. We don't all have the same place. I said it yesterday, preachers wouldn't be needed if there wasn't people in the pews to preach to. You wouldn't need them. Somebody said, well, my importance to the church is not as much as yours. Listen, every labor is needed in the vineyard, but they don't all do the same thing. They do what the householder, the boss, the Lord, who is the rock on which we're built. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we have a head, yes, and we have a headquarters, but it's no man on this earth, and it's not from this earth. Our headquarters are in heaven, and our head is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not Brother Gary's church or anyone else's church. This is the Lord's church. I do want you to understand this part, though, because sometimes I think we miss it. It is also mine. Not mine in the sense I've earned it or merited or I'm in control of it, but it's mine in that I feel it's mine. He's allowed me to have part. He's allowed me to have a place. He's allowed me to be able to sit at the feet of my brethren. He's allowed me to have brothers and sisters. You are my brothers. Listen, you're not just the Lord's children. You are my brothers and my sisters. Isn't that the way we have? I hope it's that way. If it's not that way, we just have a cold, dry, dull place that may be theologically correct, but spiritually dead. And I'll tell you, that's a barren land. I want to be theologically sound. What I mean by that is I want to cross every T and dot every I biblically that we can. I want to preach the truth and nothing but the truth. I want to share the truth with God's little children. But I say, I don't want it to just be in the letter, do you? I want it to be in the Spirit. I want to be able to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And we want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And when you have that, it gets to be about a family. And it's the Lord's family. And it gets to be about a fellowship. And it's the Lord's fellowship. And it gets to be about looking at one another and seeing the good in one another that's been put there by the hand of God. It's about giving forgiveness where it's supposed to be. Because if he hadn't forgiven me, listen, I have no place or no right in this pulpit and or in the building for that matter. And if he hadn't forgiven you, you would have no place. But because he has forgiven us, we have fellowship in him. Because he shed his blood, because he provided for us that place, he gave us a vineyard. And it's a vineyard where we can come in and labor. I think it's better to come in early. Matter of fact, I know it is. I think of many, many years. You know, I'm thankful for my experience. I really am. I'm thankful the Lord saw fit to even allow me a few years in the wilderness that I might really see and appreciate the beauty of Canaan's land. And I believe that to be a type of his church. A land that flows with milk and honey. A land that was filled with giants that the Lord allowed us by grace to. He said, I've given you the land, and we're able to enter into it. And as we were able, we came into that vineyard and we've been laboring in that vineyard. And I thank God for that blessing that he's given me. But I'll tell you, sometimes I would have liked to have avoided some of that wilderness experience. But you know, when the Lord allows you to see it, it's so beautiful. Until you get there and you start looking around and you think, well, everybody's getting the same thing I got. I've been here longer. I thought I deserve a little more. And then the next thing you know, you're not even seeing what you got. Put that in real terms. It's when you get to church and you start seeing everything wrong instead of everything right. And you start looking at one another, thinking what they're thinking, rather than thinking what the Lord's taught you to think. And then we become slothful. And that was, let me read my text. Proverbs 24. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Listen, we need instruction in God's church. The church of the Lord, he told us, that we might know how to behave. We were taught in the scripture that we might know how to behave ourselves in the house of God. And if we don't know what that is, he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. And brother Paul has laid out to the young preacher Timothy and to us by divine inspiration, he's laid out instructions for the worship of Almighty God. The qualifications of the elders and the deacons, the bishops, those things that were just the fundamentals of how we're to worship the Lord. And the reason those things are laid down in God's Word, he said in verse 14 of 1 Timothy 3, he says, these things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. You see, we as God's children need to know how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. We need to know how to worship the Lord. We need to be taught how to do that. We need to know how to do that when we gather, but we also need to know how to do that when we leave and as we go out into this world. He says, which this house of God, which is the, in case we don't know what that is, he said, as and he lays it out for us, which is the church of the living God, the pillar. Not the pillow, but the pillar and ground of the truth. It is from the church that we have the truth being preached and declared in this world. It is in the church that the wonderful ordinance of baptism is shown to the world. It is in the church that the wonderful ordinance of communion is shown in this world. And in that communion service, the Lord put that in this world and he put it in his church that we might show forth the death of Jesus Christ until he come. Sometimes we take it and take it so much for granted. Listen, that is a major responsibility. Jesus said to his disciples, ye are the light of the world. Do we think of ourselves that way? Or do we sometimes say, well, you know, we're just a little bunch over there. What influence, what effect can we have? What effect did Elijah have on the nation of Israel? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availed much. Brethren, I really truly believe the reason the Lord has spared the United States of America is because of the church that's in it. I believe that. And I say to you that if we would fail as we have so often and become slothful, and that's why I'm saying I'm thankful for what we have, but I want us to remember let's not neglect it. Let's remember how much we need to pray and look to the Lord. Not out of just duty and responsibility. It is our duty and it's our responsibility, but it's our need. I need Him. I need Him to be with me and my family. I don't want my prayers just to be something I do on Sunday morning because it's the day the Lord set aside for us to come out and worship Him. I want our prayers to be something every time that's motivated out of the needs I have in my family. I want my prayers to be real. I don't want them to be something that's just shown before men that others can say, what a religious person that is, or thing. That's like the Pharisees prayed. They prayed to be seen before men. And they made long prayers. It didn't say it was anything wrong with praying long. Some people get the idea that's wrong to pray out loud or to pray long. Listen, the Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. That sounds pretty long to me. And it says we're to go into our closets and pray. Not demeaning you have to go into a literal closet. That's not what it's speaking of. But we're to pray. As you go praying, you pray. Preacher's called to preach. As you go, preach. Who you preach to? Anybody to talk to you? Whenever the Lord gives you unction and liberty and the ability. Oh, it's amazing how the Lord opens doors and opens. I see things now that at one time I just never, they were happening all along, but I don't see them. Are you there? They've been happening all my life, but I've glossed over so many of them. I've been lazy. I've been slothful. I haven't remembered to pray as I ought to. And though God's hand has been right there preserving me, I haven't enjoyed the benefit like I could have because I've neglected. Hebrews says we've neglected so great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we lose out on the eternal salvation? No, you can't neglect or lose out on your eternal salvation. You know why? Because it's eternal salvation. That's so simple. If it was something you could neglect and lose, then you really, it would have never been eternal salvation. It had just been for the moment. It had been for the time. Eternal by its very definition means forever. It's a salvation you have that's finished in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, but the timely deliverance, the timely salvation, the salvation we find in the secret place of the Most High, there have been many times we have missed that fellowship with the Lord that we should and could have been having. And much of that happens because we become slothful. You ever had a week where you were just so busy you just didn't have time to pray like you did the week before? Listen, if you don't have time to do something, let it be something else other than your prayers. If you're going to take time to do anything, let it be pray. Listen, this is a house of prayer. We need to pray in this church. We need to be praying. We need to pray when we're gathering. Every meeting ought to be a prayer meeting. As the preacher's preaching, you pray. If you get sleepy, you pray. If you get tired, you pray. If he doesn't seem like he's getting along very well, you pray. If he doesn't preach at all, you pray, God, give me something, even if he doesn't give it to me. You pray, and I'll tell you what will happen. If you pray and look to the Lord, the Bible says that if we ask for a good thing, he will give it. He will grab those things. And I believe when God's little children are hungry and they open their mouths wide, the psalmist said, you open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Thank you, sister. Been reading. I didn't mean she don't want to point that out. But listen, there's a benefit in reading, isn't it? Study His Word. Sometimes we get the idea the only person who's really needing to study is the preacher. I'll tell you, that's going to be a cold, dull place. You study and beg God to bless that you might better understand what's wonderful about studying. When you study, it teaches you to pray. And when you pray and you study, there's a great blessing in studying. And the more you pray and the more you study, the more you learn, the more you grow. And the more you learn, the more you grow, the more you learn you need to know. The more stuff you know you need to see that you need to know, the more you say, oh, there's more instruction that I have to have. And you don't get lazy, you get excited. I'm not laying laws down for you this morning and saying these are things you have to do in order for God to be happy with you. I'm saying these are things you and I need to do as laborers in the vineyard. This is what He's called us to do. And when you're in the vineyard doing this, you enjoy the secret place of the Most High and you're dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty, and you'll have the same troubles, the same problems, the same heartaches, the same everything that happens in this world to other people will happen unto you, but you've got a secret place. You have a wisdom that no teacher can teach you. Listen, more important than anything you get in elementary school, middle school, preschool, whatever school, the Lord's provided His church as a place of instruction for spiritual little children of God, born of His. The church does not make children, but it feeds children. It's a mother that feeds the children. It doesn't make the children. The Lord is the one that gives us every little lamb, every little sheep, but the minister feeds the little lamb and feeds the little sheep. And he should not be slothful. A slothful pastor is going to have a vineyard that's filled up with, just like what happens if you see a man have a garden and he doesn't tend it. You know, sometimes we get the idea, well, we'll just let it alone and go and it'll be all right. The Lord will take care of it. Well, you let that happen in your garden. You go put a plant in a garden, you say, oh, I'm going to let the Lord take care of that. The Lord has called us not to be lazy. He didn't call us to be lazy, naturally speaking. He has told us, and it's taught throughout of His Word, throughout, we are told that we're to make our labor by the sweat of our face. That's why we got to go to work. That's why we got to get, you know, sometimes as the old natural man, I'd like it if I just didn't have to work. I'd be fine. You know, the old natural man, but that's not even the way we've been designed physically. It's not good for us. Work is good for us physically. It's good for us. Now, working all the time's not. He didn't just tell us to do that. He told us to labor, and then we're to rest. And He told us as God's children, there's a time that we need this spiritual rest. We have to have it. We need the spiritual food. We need the spiritual instruction. If we're lazy or if we don't get the instruction, it will have an effect on our lives. It'll affect you. It'll affect you individually. It'll affect you in your family. It'll affect you in every aspect of your life. He says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Our little churches, sometimes we see evidences of either ignorance spiritually or slothfulness. And most of the time those things run hand in hand. How does that happen? Well, when we get to thinking we got it. When we get to being neither cold nor hot. I want to come to church hot. I want to come warm, don't you? I don't want to come neutral. I don't want to come and say, well, Happy Creek, one more time. It's second Sunday. I guess we'll show up and put in our hour. Brother Gary, he'll probably say what he said last time. We'll go on home. Nothing will be changed. Listen, and if I come up in this stand and say just what I said last time, without digging in this Bible, building upon a rock, searching the Word of God, if I'm not faithful as a minister, pray that I be. And I don't preach the Word. That'll be the congregation, because there won't be any food for the little lambs and for the sheep, and they'll go out hungry. You pray, God, fill His mouth with words that I need. Fill it with the teaching of Thy Word, because I'm hungry, Lord, and You come hungry. Lord, I'm hungry. It's hard to preach to people who aren't hungry. It's kind of like, you know, dear sisters, you make a good meal, labor on it, work on it hard, and everybody comes and says, don't eat a thing, and I'm just not hungry. Don't feel good about that, do you? I tell you, a preacher standing before a congregation that doesn't look hungry, I like them to look hungry. I know Brother Stan says sometimes you'll stand before a congregation and they'll look at you like, preach to me if you think you can. And that's sometimes it's like that. And you know what a minister ought to do? Just preach just as hard. Because listen, it isn't about the results. I am duty bound before God to tell you about a Jesus who loved you with a love that's everlasting, that cannot fail, and all that He did. And that ought to excite me enough if nobody's excited, but oh, it sure helps when you get a little excited about it. Sure helps to see a tear run down a face from a broken heart. It sure helps to see a smile come before your face from one, or to hear someone even feel in a text that you're thinking about, because you know they're feeding. on the truth of God's word. And there's a benefit and a blessing in that. And oh, that's part of being in the secret place of the Most High when you feel the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you, when you can't be in His presence and be neutral, you'll fall down at His feet. When you see Him in the book of Revelation and John said, I saw Him. You know what happened to John? He fell down at His feet. Brethren, we ought to be at His feet today. If you really see Him, that's where you'll be. Somebody said to him, I ask you, did that make John high-minded or did it make him humble? Made him humble, didn't it? And sometimes our churches are grown up over, and let's don't talk about anybody else, let's just stay right here at home. Sometimes we can get all grown over. There are some weed pulling we need to do. There's some church repair. Not that the Lord's church is wrong with it. Listen, there wasn't any. They were all the Lord's churches in the seven churches of Asia. Y'all believe that, right? And they all were candles. They were all lampstands, candlesticks. Then Jesus was walking in the midst of them. He acknowledged that they were His churches. And He wrote to them, or to the angel, who is the messenger or the minister of the church. And He wrote to them expressly concerning the things they needed to know. The Bible is written that we might know how to behave ourselves in the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And once they were taught what they needed to know, and that was given by inspiration of God, they were told, you repent. That means there are some weed pulling that needed to happen. There are some nettles that have grown up in my life that affect the body and the assembly. There are some weed, there's some changing. There, as I learn more, as I get the instruction from the Word of God, and as we labor in the vineyard, not being lazy in the vineyard, but labor in the vineyard, there are blessings that we have. And he says, and lo, it was grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. We need to be strong on the doctrinal principles. We don't want to leave doctrine. You know, we mentioned about, I don't want to have just doctrine and no love, because that's not true doctrine. But I don't want to have what's called love with no doctrine. We need to know and be sure on the fundamentals and what the Bible teaches. We need to preach that again and again so that we're sure about those things. God's children need that good food. There's a whole lot of stuff in this world called the gospel. It's not the gospel. It's called the gospel, but it's not the gospel. There are some people who said doctrine's not even important. Well, you know right off they're wrong. If you see, you know, I even saw a pamphlet from one of them and said, we're non-doctrinal. All ideas are accepted here. And I'm telling you, what you got is a place that's grown over with nettles. You got thistles and every kind of thing in that place. And what we want to be sure is that we're standing firm on the doctrine. We want to be sure we're standing firm on the truth. We want to be sure we're standing firm on the practice. We want to be sure we're following the Bible, not some man-written articles or anything. Listen, I'm not opposed to them if they fit the Word of God. But the Bible is our authority for faith and practice. God's Word is. And we want to be sure that if we're off track, again, can a church get off track? Absolutely. What do we do when we get off track? Well, we repent. And we return to our first love. We return to where we once were. He said, then I saw and considered it well. That means I thought about it and I looked upon it and received instruction. And I love this verse. You'll find it early in the book of Proverbs. It says, yet, when it talks about go to the ant, and I think we tried to speak on that sometime not too long ago. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. You ever seen an ant? He's not lazy. He's always moving. They'll get in your house, and boy, they get in your house, they're hard to get out. I see them outside right now. I hope they stay out there. I don't want them in my house. I don't want them coming in. But I'm telling you, they're looking for a way in. They're busy. They were to be, and that's the way God's. We ought to be in that way, busy. Not busy like an ant doing what an ant does, but busy as God's little children in the vineyard doing what God would have us to do. And oh, there's a penny. And that penny is the great blessings of being in the secret place of the Most High, dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. And how does that come upon us? And this is the way it happens. Yet a little sleep. What's it going to hurt? Seems like that meeting's awful hard for us to have. Maybe we'll just drop that one. What's that hurt? Just a little drop. What's that hurt? If I miss where we, you know, the patterns you have in your family, where you're praying, those good things. I'm not talking, there are some patterns we ought to drop, but there are some good ones we ought to keep. What does it hurt if we just miss it this time? What does it hurt if I don't read my Bible? What does it really hurt? What does it hurt? And I'm not talking again about, every time I do this, I feel like I want you to understand I'm not trying to put you back under some law. But I'm saying to you, there are things that the Lord has given us in His Word that if we neglect them, it will bring heartache in our personal lives and in our church life. And the most important thing that He's called us to do is to praise Him. And we cannot effectively do that unless we follow the way that He's taught us to do it. There are some things in your life right now that's so important you wouldn't dare not do them. What I'm saying to you, the spiritual things ought to be the most in priority. A little sleep, a little slumber. What does it hurt? So shall thy poverty come. A little folding of the hands. It's like, you know, a man that gets up in the morning and says, well, I'm really tired this morning. What will it hurt? I'll hit my snooze button. The next thing you know, he's 5 minutes late to work. When that happens once, twice, the next thing you know, he don't have any work to go to. Didn't happen all of a sudden, did it? Just a little bit here, a little bit there. Spiritually, I'm telling you, it happens. What does it hurt if I don't read like I have? Or what does it hurt if I don't study like I have? Or what does it hurt if we don't go to church as we ought to? What does it hurt? What does it hurt? A little sleep, a little slumber. Soon you get that spiritual poverty. Listen, the man of this world he's already in a poverty he will never see or know about. But a little child of grace, we need these things. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.